Welcome, it's Tamborine Borelli, your host for 2012 Journey to Evolution, and I am so excited today. I have a really cool lady as my guest today. I was very honored to have gotten an email from her, and she is an award-winning filmmaker, and I'm really excited about what her passion is. And her passion, based on what I know of her, is to express and share a new paradigm of where we're going, not just for 2012, but today and tomorrow and this whole era that we're all stepping into. I'm going to, before I go any further, introduce this brilliant, talented, beautiful lady, Patty Greer. Thank you so much for joining us today, Patty.
Well, it's a treat to be here. Thank you, Tamborine.
I'm so excited to just hear what you're up to and talk a little bit about what you have been up to and what you plan on being up to. Where would you like to start?
Well, you know, all I can tell you is one day at a time anymore, because things are moving so quickly and things are changing so intensely that it's kind of like the weather in Colorado. What's it like today? Well, right now, you know, 60 degrees, but in 15 minutes, 4 feet of snow. I mean, life is getting that way now.
Patty, it is just like that in Yelm, Washington. When I was just in Colorado a week or so ago doing a workshop, it was the first time I had ever been there, and I was like, oh, my God, it is just like at home, where within one day you can experience all four seasons. I was like, I feel right at home.
Exactly. But, you know, we're talking about weather in extreme places like Colorado and Washington. On the other hand, now we're relating it to humanity, which is going through changes as extreme as our weather. And, of course, the weather is ramping up and getting more volatile because probably all the polluting that humans are doing on the planet. Now the planet is saying, she's just putting her hand up and saying, stop. And I think that we're going to have a lot more of that the less we listen. The good thing is that there's more people listening to radio shows like this, getting together in groups, helping to get their friends to agree to evolve. And on so many levels now, humanity is evolving. And even though in the outer world it might not look like it, and a lot of us are being thrown really tough challenges, on the inner world, a lot of us that don't even realize it are being awakened on so many levels. And one of the passions that Tamborine knows that I have is for the crop circles. And this has been somehow the inspiration that started the physical chapter that I'm in now, which is making movies. And I refer to life in every aspect as chapters, because I don't want to be dramatic about when something ends, oh my God, my life is over. It's an opportunity for a new beginning. If we choose to keep our mind in a place where we want to say, I'm not dying, I am being rebirthed. And I've been through that the last 6 years. I had everything taken away from me that I thought I was. And that's my story, was that I was a musician my whole life. I played harp and piano and sang, and I was playing very serious concerts by the time I was 6 years ago. At the, I didn't know, end of my career, I was playing for spiritual masters coming in and very silent rooms, and my hands were starting to get strange. I had played out organic strings for 32 years, and I bought myself this wonderful little harp that had fabulous sound, but it had synthetic strings, and something in the fluorocarbon strings poisoned the skin on my fingertips, and it completely took me out. My life was playing music. I mean, my whole life, since I was six, I was a musician. And so all of a sudden, here I am in my middle age, and all my fingers are shredded. My fingertips, for 6 years almost now, have been every day of my life with cuts. I can't use my fingertips. Six fingers are down, which is really interesting, being a human who's used to being tactile, and the simplest things that we don't think about because our hands work or our feet work. The things that we take for granted are probably the most spectacular gifts we have. And until it's really thrown at us and yanked away, it's almost like you don't know what you've got till it's gone. So I had my opportunity to completely whine and cry and be a baby about it. So for the first year, I didn't stop crying and whining. But then I finally, after seeing a number of doctors and wasting thousands and thousands of dollars, because they all just wouldn't listen to me say, fluorocarbon strings did this. This isn't on my knees. This is, you know, they wouldn't listen. And I knew that it wasn't going to work. What I was doing, all kinds of healers and all this, nothing was working. And I've been on a spiritual path since I was 7. So for me, I had to just stop. Stop trying, sit down and say, what is this? And I still didn't really get an answer even this morning when I sat down, looked at my fingertips and said, what am I still not getting? But the interesting thing about the surrender of saying, I know there's got to be something good in whatever lesson each of us is being dosed. I went off to England. I had heard about the crop circles. I had friends that were ministers at a Unity church, and they went to the crop circles. And when they came back, I had a conversation. I couldn't even talk to them. I was staring at them going, I don't even recognize you. What did you do? I could just tell they looked really different. And they had been in the crop circles. And when they told me about the magic and the high vibration and the fact, I mean, I looked at them and it was kind of like that movie where everybody looks at Meg Ryan and says, I want what she's having, right? You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
She was in that restaurant. Yeah. So there I am looking at them going, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm going to go get me some. So within 6 weeks, I had a ticket to England. I took one of my daughters and I bribed her. I said, come with me, humor me, and I'll take you. You pick a place in Europe and that'll be our next week. So the whole time we were there, it was completely rainy, muddy. I didn't really get to have the full experience, but I got a taste. And I don't know how many of your listeners have been to the crop circles, but it is something that you want to experience. And if you can't physically experience it, what is believed by those of us that go in them, and we take pictures, I do films, I do movies, photos, and I share it with the world very freely, because what we believe is that these are messages that are being given to humanity by higher dimensional sources. These are, some people call them ETs, people that channel a particular planetary star system would maybe think it was communication for them. Everybody takes in the information of the crop circles in different ways that are for them, but there is something happening in the crop circles that is the first physical communication from other realms that humans can actually see. And this is not being done by a bunch of drunks over in England with boards and ropes. Those guys are making some of them, but they are not making these enormous, meticulous, intricate, with shading. We're laying down crops of wheat. This is green, like tall grass with heads that are 4 inches, and they're all being laid in perfect symmetry for 2.5 acres. Most of them are like 1 acre to 2.5 acres laid in perfection. It is so shocking. And when you're in them, for me and the people that I relate to in the crop circles, we don't even talk. It shakes you up. Your hair stands up on your neck. I mean, your hair stands up on your arms. Everything about you is a goosebump. It's an incredible thing. But when you fly over and you see the sacred geometry, and then you take photos and you look at these photos, again, another belief is that simply by humans looking at photos of crop circles, the sacred geometry, the patterns that are coming through for humanity are giving us on a subconscious level, they're giving us on a subconscious level the information that the ETs, the higher dimensional beings, are trying to get humanity to understand. And this is in agreement with the ETs. Now, do you find this with your channelings that you do, that they're saying, we can't interfere, we can only give you the information?
Well, you know, as I was saying to you before, it's not, I wouldn't use that term for my experiences with these beings. I don't, per se, channel anybody. The downloads, right. I guess, is a more appropriate, that's what kind of feels more accurate with me, or a blending of information. Right. It is in the sense of, yeah, let us share the frequency of this information, and basically it's our responsibility to do with it what we will for the highest evolution of our own soul and for anyone else who is tuning into that high frequency. But yeah, any, in my experience, any being, or master or entity that is having the intention of sharing what they know for the purpose of elevating everyone on this earth, it is absolutely not dogmatic. It is sharing the information, and it is absolutely our responsibility to do with it what we will. It's never imposing at all.
Mm-hmm.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, and that's a really beautiful way to put it, because I think that we remember the Buddha had this wonderful line where he says, he who says lots knows not, and he who says not knows lots. And I find that when I began going into the crop circles, everybody I would talk to, of course, would say the same thing. Oh, weren't they made by those two old guys in England, Doug and Dave? It's like, I mean, I'm still hearing that today from intelligent people, and I look at them like, well, number one, Dave's been dead for 11 years, or Doug, I'm not sure, bear with me. One of them did pass away 10 or 11 years ago, and, you know, but it's interesting how for so many years the press has been able to squelch the reality of the crop circles, because these enormous, beautiful, magnificent physical manifestations that are happening in different countries. They've been photographed in over 60 countries of the world. Since the 1980s alone, the documentation has been hundreds and hundreds of crop circles. But in England alone, which is where I go every summer, there's, in the 70s, like 75 was last summer, 77, I think, the year before, just in the UK alone. And the thing about 2012... That's drawing all of this really kind of to a peak. 2012 for me is not a destination, but it's rather a culmination of all these physical events that we are in now. And so many really advanced spiritual minds are saying, I feel so honored to be here now because this is the most important time in the evolution of humanity. And here we sit on the brink of the power elite with all this challenging stuff that they're trying to pull over, and I don't go into that on the radio because that's not a field I ever want to focus on. But it does affect us every day. I did close out my stock portfolio, and they did just choose to keep 20% of my life savings. What can you do? These huge conglomerates, I mean, it's really interesting, and I'm watching letters come in from a friend in Australia today that said, lost my job after 40 years. I'm really frustrated. I mean, I'm curious about this domino effect of so many people losing their jobs. And, you know, like, are we all going to soften? I'm finding that after that was removed from my life, and then I went and moved my all my stuff and things, and the movers were completely irresponsible humans. So now everything I own is damaged, bruised, bent, busted. And so it took me, instead of going into that wah of, well, I guess this is where I let go of my attachment to the physical things.
Yeah.
You know, everything somehow, if we can take that evolved approach and say, how can I use this as a lesson, then it becomes a lot easier to cope with being on the planet right now. I think times are super tough, but again, every day I go, I'm going to look at the things I love. Because I know that where I root my mind is what's going to be today.
Absolutely. And with with quantum physics, we know that every version of everything exists. There are infinite versions of you. There's infinite versions of your reality and every variation in between. So on the same spectrum, you know, things are horrible for some people right now. People are experiencing a down economy. Some people are experiencing a catastrophic environmental, you know, earthquakes, tsunamis, whatever. But that doesn't mean everyone is. You know, the point is there's right. a version for everything. And the bottom line is, what does the individual want to experience? And what they want to experience is exactly what they're holding in the forefront of their mind.
Right, right.
Every single time, there's no exception to that rule. It's just physics.
Right. Well, you mentioned something because you and I introduced ourselves on the phone a couple days ago, but I think one of the most interesting bits that light workers all around the world, when we admit this very strange thing that's been happening, that we're all going, oh, my God, because after you said it, and I didn't say it at the time, I went, oh, my God, I'm in the same thing. Where we have been awakened from 2 till 5 a.m. in the morning, never before in my life, but all of a sudden, night after night after night, I'm up between 2 and 5 in the morning going, what is this? I always sleep. I'm a fabulous sleeper. Hot sweats, and it doesn't let you go to sleep. During this evolutionary ascension process, we're getting these huge downloads, and they're coming in the middle of the night when everything's quiet. The world is quiet. Our mind and heart is quiet. Everybody's sleeping around us, be it our pets or our friends. And boom, that's their time to say, you, let's go to work. So this is an interesting thing that happened. I went to England as an all of a sudden accidentally retired musician. Like, what the heck am I going to do with my life? And I found that because I wasn't using my hands, I just wanted to walk, and see everything. Because when you say, well, if I can't use this, I'm going to use something else. All of a sudden, all these body parts, I mean, the things I can do with my elbows and knees right now, I put anybody to the test.
Hilarious. But, you know,
it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm funny.
We can have a whole show based on that.
Yeah, right. So I go off to England, and I lay in a crop circle, and I just close my eyes, and I said, you know, if anybody's home, would you please come down here and just heal my hands? Would you just show me something I've never seen before? I was so vulnerable, so willing, so ready, because I had done already a few years of hard time with my body just not listening. And as light workers and healers and people that we feel that we are using our intuition and our grace to not be able to fix your own self, that's frustrating. That's what made me stop feeling like all this faith was all that good and all this karma. I was starting to really question my physical reality at all, because I still today don't, but I do see the gifts, you know. But we wonder sometimes, you know, it's our stubbornness that keeps things hanging on. So I get to the crop circles, innocent girl, and I lay down, and all I'm thinking is, you know, heal this, and boom, I'm out like a light. Take a little nap. Yeah, right. I've got my head in the center of a crop circle. I'm all by myself in England. I went for 7 weeks by myself the second year. The first year I said I went with my daughter, got a taste, and I knew that there was something there, so I came back the next year, and I spent actually 9 weeks in 2007 and 2008 in the crop circles. I didn't come up for air. So I got a really solid taste of what's going on over there, and there is no doubt in my mind that I'll just say the things that are not a coincidence. Here's one. 20 feet before I walked in, everything lit up. Goosebumps head to toe, hair standing up on my arms. And once you walk in it, you're just breathless because they're so beautiful. You're looking at nature laying down in perfect obedience, in perfect divine order, tens of thousands of them in a row, pieces of wheat told where to lay. And as they lay, You've got standing wheat that is now bent at a 90-degree angle. At each of these bends, there is a bubble, which we call a bent node. And the only way you can get a bubble, scientifically, they've tested the wheat. The only way that they can recreate what's happening in the crop circles is an industrial microwave oven. Well, wow. Now, who's got one of those big enough to lay acres of wheat? Not real sure. So there's a very high heat happening that affects the wheat on the inside instantly. Tens of thousands of them bend and lay down in perfect obedience. Something amazing is happening.
Yeah,
no,
and it ain't Doug and Dave, that's for sure.
It ain't Doug and Dave. The other interesting thing that's happening. Say what?
I said, especially if one of them's 6 feet under.
Yeah, right, for years. For years and years. And interestingly enough, I did, my second year, I went over to Italy to begin because I knew once I got to the English crop circles, I would never leave. But I was curious what they were like in Italy because, let me mention to everybody, if you want to see many, 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 many beautiful pictures of crop circles, my trailers on my website are full of crop circles. I've done 4 movies and all of them are packed. It's pattygreer.com, pattygreer.com, My trailers to all 4 movies, just take a look. You'll see absolutely beautiful ones. And if it's true that we are being given this ascension material through the crop circles as one of the greatest physical mediums, well, just looking at pictures of them, feel free to hit pause and really take a look at the dynamics of the pattern that you're seeing in the crop circles, because even the experts, those of us that are, I'm not an expert, but I'm a croppie. I'm loyal and devoted, and I go every summer, and I go in many, many, many of them. So I feel like I'm authentic with what I feel is going on, and it's not show and tell for me at all. I've made 4 movies in 3 years because I gave up everything else. I don't know really how I'm making these movies, but something happened to me that day when I laid in a crop circle, and I put my head in the center, and I closed my eyes, and I was asking for something, but I believe I was given a download of something quite else, because when I opened my eyes up at the end of that afternoon laying in the crop circle, it was the first time I could see what I see all the time now everywhere, which is plasma in the sky. And plasma is, it's a less dense reality. Again, we're in parallel universes with our dreams, our physical, our astral, all these different multi-dimensional layers that we are at all times. What I started seeing that day in the crop circles was the plasma beings. And we have solids, liquids, gas, plasma, air as our 5 different physical densities. So we've got plasma somewhere between gas, which you really can't see either, we can smell it, and air, which we don't see, but we can feel. There's something going on now in our dimensional shift in the plasma field. I can't explain it. I'm not scientific, but I darn well know what I see, and I see them everywhere all the time, different shapes, different groupings. It's almost like when I go scuba diving and I see different groupings of fish, and they swim by in schools. These plasma beings are moving through the air in schools, and they have some different variations of appearance, but pretty much they look almost like a jellyfish. You know, they're kind of see-through, but you can see them. So these are in the air. I see them all the time, and when I'm with people and I mention it, people are like, what? I take a group of people outside. It's a very brief lesson, and almost everybody sees them. And from here forward, I came back to Denver, Colorado, where I was living when I came back from England. And there I was, busy city, boom, right off my deck. It was like sitting there watching schools of fish. So the dimensions are thinning, and we are being offered a whole lot more. And we have an option every day to really open our crown, open our heart, open our darn eyes, because it's all here now. We're already in it.
Well, I'm going to open my darn mouth and ask you, what do you think, based on all of the tens and probably hundreds of circles you've seen and all of the different geometric shapes, What is your personal take? What do you think one or more than one of the messages is from these beings from elsewhere?
Well, that's a good question. I think we're being given chapters of information. And last summer, 2009, there were groupings of obvious messagings. There were four that I can think of right off the bat, maybe five, that were ocean creatures. Three of them were like very bizarre squid. And do you remember last year those giant squid were like coming out of the ocean in California that they'd never seen before?
Yep.
That was so weird. But the crop circles are showing us a number of creatures from the ocean that are most likely becoming extinct. But again, they're showing us, they showed us two circles of fish. One of them looked like dolphins. Another one looked like whales. And they were circling in the crop circle. And you could see the motion in the picture. The other ones, like I said, were squid. And it seemed like we also were gifted a number of birds. We had the hummingbird, the owl, the phoenix. There were many birds, many fish, and many Mayan symbols. And this, so I want to, before I forget, also suggest, highly recommend, that you listeners go on and look at CropCircleConnector.com. Is, I think, the greatest site in the world. They keep you up to date on every crop circle in all the different countries. I don't know how they get the reports so early in the morning, but when I'm in England, I get up at the crack of dawn, and the Crop Circle Connector somehow knows where the formations are, or we have to go out and fly, pay a pilot to fly us around in these little planes with no doors on, if you shoot. You know, I've got my cameras, and so, you know, they give you an option, doors or no doors, and I'm looking like, where's the seatbelt? That's it. This little, like, string bean wraps around your waist, and you're 3,000 feet banked over, and there's no door on.
It's holy shit.
Absolute. Oh, I mean, it's been ridiculous what I have done, and I'm, like, completely out of control when I'm over there. I am so guided that the word no doesn't apply. I think, oh comes out of me like, oh, when the plane is banking really tight, he's like, do you want to do one more loop of the crop circle? I'm like, well, yeah, you know, we're 3,000 feet up. Give me one more loop in case we had a bounce, you know. And it's windy and rainy, and I'm going, I can't believe I'm doing this. Shoot! So I'm leaning out, and, you know. But the interesting thing about, again, that particular day, starting to see the plasma, which probably me meeting them the first time physically that I was aware of, but without any training or any desire to ever do anything in the world of film or movies or holding a movie camera, any of this. I've always been a storyteller with my music, but within 6 months of leaving England and coming home with 1,100 photos and interviews, I interviewed all my friends. I hired like a film crew that was running film at the Glastonbury Symposium on Crop Circles, which is the big event there, and I hired the film crew to come and interview my friends. I wasn't sure why. I just wanted, like, everybody back home to have a taste of this because it's so yummy. So I come back with all this footage, and next thing I knew, 6 months later, I had made a movie. 6 months after that, I made another movie. And literally the next year and a half, in 3 years, I've made four full-featured films. I don't know how. I even run the camera, set up the tripod. I mean, physically I can figure it out, but when I open the little door and all the numbers are running, I couldn't tell you what any of them mean. I vaguely know the name of my camera. It's a Panasonic P2HD, but seriously, I'm not a whiz. I'm not an expert. And my last two movies that I've done 95% of on my own have won Best Feature Film at the biggest UFO event in the world, which is the International UFO Conference. Congress convention, and this is 600 to 800 people a year that meet in the middle of the Nevada desert, and we stay at one resort, and for 14 hours a day, it is full on. All the guys that talk on CNN are there. Everybody's there this big in the UFO world, and it's 14 hours a day of information, 10 hours a day of lectures.
Patty, I'm going to ask you just briefly, right before we take a break, in a sentence or two, what would you say from your experience? What do you think is being attempted to get across to us? What is the main message, do you think, that these intricate, beautiful patterns that are being laid upon these crops of wheat, what do you think the message is primarily? I'm sure there's obviously different variations, but your perception, what do you think in a sentence or two is the message? And then we're going to go to a break.
I think there's not a lot of variation. I believe the message is to bring us back to honoring the earth and working with the earth and really learning how to massage and work with the planet, such as learn how to grow our crops again and not be going into the synthetic world. I think that we are being told by higher dimensional beings that we are on the tipping point of hurting the planet too much, and that we are at a time when it is being turned around and we are moving into evolutionary consciousness of all humanity.
Beautiful. Thank
That's
you so much. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back with Patty Greer. Welcome back. Here we are again with Patty Greer, award-winning filmmaker. And I just wanted to ask her one last question. She had a riveting story, another one about a crop circle, before I want to get into what she's up to now and her latest project. So, Patty, tell me about that story about the crop circle you were telling me about.
Okay. Well, when we were getting into the commercial break, I was kind of starting to go into the spin of making four movies really quickly. But for me, still today, I don't really know much about the camera. I'm even doing some of the editing. But I hire really smart people to tie the movie in a bow at the end. But what I'm trying to point out about the crop circles and the magic of actually being in a sacred place on purpose with intention is that you really can and do raise your vibration on purpose. And I think that something, without me doing it intentionally in the crop circles, I think that they recognize that I was a human that was there completely in surrender. And I think that's another big piece for working with higher dimensional energies is not being in our ego, but being in full surrender. I was there on my back. I mean, it doesn't come any more surrender than that, saying, help me. And as a light worker, you know, when you just bend over and say, help me, I give up. But you put yourself in a place where you do get higher dimensional help, then you have wonderful things happen. So the story that I had remembered yesterday, which I've never told on the air, I find interesting. A lot of the filmmakers are told, when you bring your camera into a crop circle, there's something about the electromagnetic field inside the crop circle that turns most people's cameras off, kills their batteries. It happens to most people. It did not happen to me. It never happened to my camera. I was really surprised. I mean, I never once had a blowout. But one particular set of 24 hours in a row, I had been in the crop circles, and I came back to my room, and I was in the shower, and all of a sudden I heard a crash. And I've got a B&B right there in the middle of the crop circle area, and I had come home every day with three little heads of wheat that I brought from each crop circle I was in. So I had built this bucket in my room of all the crop circle energy, and I had taken my little scissors, and so I had, like, I don't know, 25 or 30 of these little heads of wheat from the center of a crop circle in my room, in the closet. So the lamp had actually taken itself from the back of the table. I've got a bed with two bedside tables, two lamps made of pottery with a shade. Boom, falls off the table, shatters into pieces all over the floor. And I thought, wow, that's really weird. I felt really bad, like, oh, God, the maid's going to, you know, I'm going to have to tell the manager, you know, I don't know how that happened. And so I went downstairs and I came up and I was brushing my teeth. The other lamp falls off the table.
Get out of here.
Shattered all over the floor. I've never told this story. I'd forgotten about it. I don't know what reminded me. And I was like, oh, my God, this is too weird. My room is full of shattered stuff. They're going to think I'm like some cocktail girl in here throwing parties. And I go out of the room. I'm like, oh, man, this is embarrassing. And I'm standing in the hallway dinking around with my key, and the light over my head in the hall starts to, and it shorts out. So I didn't want to take personal credit. I thought, gosh, must be an earthquake. This place must have, I mean, I didn't really take responsibility.
Patty, listen, that's totally, you know, you said the buzzword, electromagnetic frequency. When they say that that is what generates inside the crop circle, that is the same thing as that electromagnetic frequency that I was telling you about earlier that scientists say seem to be on the planet for the very first time. It's that frequency that blows out light, that turns your TV on and off, that collapses tumors in people's bodies, that wakes you up in the middle of the night with hot sweats and involuntary muscle movement. I think it's the same frequency that is all about evolving everyone who's choosing to be on that higher frequency. So you absolutely, based on my opinion and my experience, have tapped into that electromagnetic frequency for sure.
Yes. And so this is what is happening on our planet at this time for all humans to either dabble in, play with, learn from, evolve with, or to avoid and put our hand up and say, no, I don't want it. I want to stay in my limiting belief. So letting all that go and going back to the I want more, bring it on, I want what she's having, my new movie that I will be finishing sometime this summer is called something like, I haven't titled it for sure, but it is about the fairy kingdom in the new paradigm. This movie, again, my movies make themselves. I just say yes and I run behind the camera like it almost runs by itself, and I have to like chase it to turn it on and hit zoom. But what happened for me last summer, it was the first summer I didn't go to the crop circles because I was so into the fairy film. And I found that every time I'd go outside to shoot pictures of flowers, thinking that I would dress up women like fairies or go to the fairy festivals and put them in flowers and do all the special effects, every time I'd be somewhere in a garden shooting amazing flowers, I'd hear some rustling, and I'd look right or left, and there would be a fox or a deer demanding my attention and then staring at me. Now, I hand feed wildlife. I've done it for years. So, yes, I have a connection with them. But here I was, not even thinking about animals, just about flowers. And every single time I went filming, they would show up. So I have lengthy footage of foxes, three different families of foxes, and their babies even stared at my camera, just sat there and stared. And deer, of course, and I got elk. I even got wild javelina pigs snorting at me in England, giving me a total conversation which says, we welcome you to the fairy glen. So what happened is I've got an entire movie for children of all ages that will be animals giving us deep wisdom through telepathic communication. So I did end up then meeting people that live a true fairy life in England, have numerous sets of wings and glitter and costumes and lifestyle. Their homes are filled with fairiness. And this is, again, one of these aspects of humanity that is somewhere between our world and theirs. These people that have taken on a physical body, and they are the elemental beings that are here to remind us to stay connected to the earth. My dear friend Brigitte Mars, who's written 10 or 11 books, some of them are on raw foods, walking down a trail and eating what you're hiking next to. There is so much real food in nature. And so I'm bringing out things like this, bringing out the reality of loving the earth back, because this is what's happening now. This is what's happened to humanity, and we have got to get a grip. It's 2010. We've got to start loving the mother, honoring the earth, planting healthy seeds, not splitting our gardens with Monsanto or anything. Oops, I said it. You know, we really need to be having clean, organic gardens. And when I go to the grocery store now, our snow threw a power outage the other night, and I said, oh, my God, real food. I was, like, out of fruit and vegetables, and, you know, I've got a year's worth of beans and sprouts and all this, which is nice. But what I wanted was real food. And just those 4 hours of no electricity reminded me that we need to learn how to grow our own food again, how to sew our own clothing again. You know, each one of us is going to be held accountable for our own lives. You know, as the money runs out and that money system falls apart, it's really going to be up to each of us to create a healthy lifestyle where we can work with the earth and take care of ourselves. And I think that that's the biggest message coming for 2012, is that shift where the negativity that has been running this planet is just so squeezed to the surface to be healed that it finally is. And the divine feminine, which is not women compared to men, it's the energy of the divine earth, Gaia, mother, returning to full breadth, full power, full evolutionary bliss, because humanity, 2012, this is the ascension. And all this other stuff is just bad press and misinformation. The truth is, we live in bliss today. We have everything we need right here, right now, in front of us at all times.
Absolutely. I'm going to interject right in there in regard to what the divine feminine is, and an aspect to it really is not necessarily pushing against all the things that we've experienced that we don't like or that we're not resonant with. But really, you know, divine feminine is complete compassion, focusing on really where we're wanting to go, what we're wanting to be, and what we're wanting to experience. And within that, absolutely, we can choose a version of this time frame that's coming in that absolutely is self-responsibility. It is feeding ourselves. It is, you know, planning our own food. It is being responsible for every aspect of our own lives. And in that, we can just literally be the seeds of a new era that is absolutely on its way in. And in the spirit of that, I want to, just from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being who you are and doing what you're doing and sharing with the world a piece of who you are. You know, I really do honor that, and it really does make a difference. And before we say goodbye, I'd like you to give whatever information that you can to our listeners. Again, your website and where they might be able to check out your movies, and whatever else you'd like to say in the last minute or so.
Thank you. Well, I would like to mention my four movies because I know that they were made by higher dimensional beings with the help of me and my savings account. But seriously, the information has really surprised me. I didn't watch my movies. The last two have won a few awards, really great awards. And for me, it's confirmation that I'm telling the truth, that I'm doing the information that people that know a lot are accepting. So I do believe that I am bringing in information from a higher source and not taking responsibility. I mean, I literally called myself the accidental filmmaker for the first two movies. Now I go in them with an intention of creating something that has a definitely positive message. So my recent two movies I'd love for you all to look into. My positive movie about the ascension of 2012 is called 2012, We're Already in It. And I feature Patricia Corey, brilliant woman, who just, I mean, my favorite line of the whole movie after she dissects what's happening on the planet, which we don't focus on the negative, but very light skimming, she says, yeah, we're in martial law, but look at this day. Look at this beautiful place we are, this day we're in. What are you going to do with it? I love that line because it's about really taking responsibility. So that's 2012. We're already in it. I've got probably 15 different world speakers that I said to them, give it to me positive or I'm going to throw it away in the edit. It's only positive information and thoughts I want to put out. And the recent one that I just made in the last 3 months is called Crop Circles 2010 Update, The Wake-Up Call. You can find my work on www.pattygreer.com, PattyGreer.com, or I'm on Amazon.com. You can just go to movies and ask for Patty Greer, and you'll see a whole lineup of, you want to buy the ones from the filmmaker, I have my four, and you'll definitely recognize my work. The trailers are only on the website, and they are complimentary, and it really is, I think, a compliment for any of us to be gifted this information. To be able to look at images of crop circles is one of the greatest gifts we're given, and it's free. It's absolutely free for all of us. The information, I believe we have been given everything we need to evolve as a species. The only question left is anybody listening?
I couldn't agree with you more. And hopefully there are people who are listening. And for all of you that are, I hope you jotted that information down and see this brilliant woman's work. And again, Patty, thank you so much for being our guest and gracing us with your presence today. And we do look forward to your new movie about the beautiful fairies.
Well, it's, again, about creating the world we want. You know, it's not just wildlife and, you know, spoken through brilliant people in England that are wizards and druids and fairies and elves. I mean, truly, these people live these lives.
It's true.
And it's coming through the face of animals. But every day we have an opportunity to evolve. And I just want to say that I almost lost my faith because I was the effect of the world. My hands are hurt. I got robbed by my own bank, all these things on the planet that could really take us down. But on the other hand, all of a sudden, I got pulled out of the city. by a prince on a white horse who took me and galloped me away, and I'm living in a new paradigm. Every day I wake up, I go, oh, my God, this is not the world I remember. And I'm no longer living at 5,000 feet in a city full of ambulances and fire trucks. I'm at 11,000 feet, and all I hear is the wind, the crows, and I'm watching the hawk, and I'm hearing myself go, ah, ah, out the door. It's a choice. And I feel like all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I'm being gifted because I don't have to deal with the world like I used to, but it took me months, years, of a clear decision that I'm not going to do this anymore. And now I'm not. But we have to really decide and stick with our decisions. So when we get up in the morning, those first thoughts are so important. I get into
That's
a practice
so
every
true,
morning.
Sweetie. And
up.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. But again, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And hopefully we can get you back on the show when your new movie comes out. Will you let us know when that happens?
Absolutely. Love to.
Beautiful. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Same time, same bat channel. Have a beautiful day, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Matrix of illusion.